about revival. We've been talking about revival. I'm going to talk about revival, but I'm going to bring a different angle to it, I hope. The title of my message is Revival, Enforcing God's Kingdom. Revival, Enforcing God's Kingdom. Now, let's read scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government," let me stress the word government, "the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Again, let me stress the word government. It says, "In the increase of his government, there will be no end upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I want to stress the word government. We all here have been a part of a government. All of us here. The problem is that we are so used to the governments that we see that our view of the government of God becomes distorted. So for me, if I am going to understand revival, I need to understand government. It says that unto us a child is born and a son is given and the government will be upon his shoulders. I am from the government of Kenya. They discuss Kenya today. My goodness. We need help in Kenya, as you can see. We have been in the government of the UK for a long, long time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to press pause and rewind. We are dealing with a government. When we are dealing with God, we are dealing with a government. A government has an army. A government has a ruler. It says the government will be upon his shoulders. And so if I'm going to understand revival, I've got to think about what type of government is this? God does not do democracy. Shall I say it again? God does not do democracy. I say this a lot in our cell. God does not have a voting system. God says, and that's it, there is no House of Lords to have a look at his laws and say, no. If we want to come out of Brexit, then the House of Lords looks at you and say, "No, God, we no way. You can't." No. There is no Senate there. God does not do government. What kind of government are we dealing with? My title is Enforcing the Kingdom. We are dealing with a king. I hope we're going to get this. I was discussing this message with my wife, and my wife was saying, "I hope they're going to get this. I hope you're going to get this." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, Old and New Testament, is about a kingdom, a king, and his royal subjects. So if I'm going to understand revival, I've got to understand how a kingdom operates. We are dealing with a king. I'm going to say it again. We are dealing with a king. So, if I present to you my son, if I've got a son, and my son is a doctor, let's just say, for example, I present my son, and my son is a doctor, and you've got a health issue. And if you've got a health issue and I present my son to you, here's my son, he is a doctor. But you dwell on the sonship. "Oh, David's son is here. Isn't he beautiful? Oh, David's son, his son, but you're sick." "Yes, he is my son. I do not dispute that he is my son. But he's got a function. And that function is going to help you. God brought his son. Thank you for his son. I do not demean the fact that that is his son. But who was his son? His son was a king. So, we need to know how to relate to a king. When Jesus was announced, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born?'" Who? "The king of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And Herod the king heard this, and what happened to Herod? He was troubled because a king has come. In fact, if we go back and look at the Old Testament, when the children of Israel asked for a king, God said something there. He says something very, very important. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 to 7. He says this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 to 7. "So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they say to him, 'You are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have.'" And listen to the response. Verse 6, "But they said, 'Give us a king to lead us.' So this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord." Listen to God's response. "And the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not that they have rejected, but who? They have rejected me as their king." So we've got to understand kingship. The problem is that we are so much used to addressing the church and God as an organization, as an institution, that is to some extent in subordination. It's not the correct way that we should look at God. We are dealing with the king. And I'm going to go and talk to you about how we should approach a king. In fact, it becomes very easy because here in Great Britain, we've been dealing with a royal family. So it may be easy for us to understand that we are dealing with a king. Jesus is a king. He is a king. Old and New Testament. The Old Testament was about the law, then the prophets, and then Jesus came. The law and the prophets was discussing about a kingdom. It was always been about a kingdom. In fact, when Jesus was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, two people appeared on the scene when Jesus was transfigured. We've got to understand why these people appeared on the scene. Two people appeared on the scene. One, Elijah. Two, Moses. Luke chapter 16, verse 16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John." The law and the prophets were until John. "Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is entering into it." So we're dealing with a kingdom. We're dealing with a government. We're not dealing with a religious institution. We're not dealing with a company. We are dealing with a government, and that government is a king. When Jesus was transfigured, Moses and Elijah. In fact, if you go into the Old Testament, Moses will say that he will not enter into the land. Moses entered into the land because of Jesus. He appeared in the land. Moses and Elijah, they appeared into the land. And then Peter saw and the disciples saw this and they were taken away. They were blown away. I myself, I would be blown away. Wow. Elijah and Moses have appeared. And then what did Peter say? He said, "Let us build a house. Let us build a house for Elijah. Let us build a house for Moses. Let us just dwell here. Because this is amazing." Religion had set in. "Let us build a house for the law and let us build a house for the prophets." Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And as they were marveling at this, let us build a house. Let us dwell in this house. Let us stay here. When you build a house, you stay there. I came from a Seventh-day Adventist background. My granddad was a Seventh-day Adventist, staunch. Steve, he never used to even drink Coca-Cola against his religion. He could not even drink coffee against his religion. By 6 p.m., we had finished everything. Everything was cooked. Sabbath day had come. You're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to cook. Then one day, I climbed a tree. Religion has set in. My grandma came charging down at me. What are you doing? It's Sabbath day. Get down from that tree. Religion has set in. Let us build a house here, and let us build another house here. And let us stay. Let us stay into this place here. By the time they realized, Moses and Elijah had disappeared, and Jesus was left. It's no longer about the law and the prophets. It's about Jesus. And a voice came from heaven. This is my son. Hear him. So it's about Jesus now. So when Jesus came as a king. And even in his coming as a king. So all of us here, especially here in the Western world, we need to understand kingdom. We understand republics. But we never understand kingdoms. When a king speaks, a king has very few words. Because if he speaks his law cannot be returned again. He speaks, and that's it. Kingdom. Kingdom principles. So we've got to think about kingdom. Jesus was a king. Even if you read carefully Paul's messages, Paul knew very well that we're dealing with a king. And this is what Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King, what? Eternal, immortal, invisible to God. God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. To the King eternal, Paul. In the Old Testament, kings. And then Jesus comes in, a king. So, we've got to start thinking about how God wants us to be. He wants us to understand that we are a government. And this government is ruled by a king. Kingdom. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. It says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Again, let me repeat myself. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. So we're dealing with a kingdom. Which has let me give you the pretext to this particular verse. In this particular verse, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in this dream, there was an idol. And this idol was made of gold, silver, clay, iron. And he was troubled by this particular dream. And he called all his soothsayers, his magicians, and everybody. He told them, I am troubled by this dream. So you guys have to tell me about this dream. If you do not tell me about this dream, I'm going to kill you. And if you read, I'll give you some homework. Go and read the whole of that text. And if you continue reading that text, he actually started killing the wise men until Daniel came into the scene. And when Daniel came into the scene, Daniel said, this particular dream only God can answer. So let me go and pray and come back. Daniel went and prayed and come back. And when he came, prayed and come back, he started telling the interpretation of this dream. He said, this silver, gold, and clay, and iron that you see represents different kingdoms. but there is coming a kingdom. That rock that you saw that hit all these other kingdoms was the kingdom of God. It is a rock that is going to hit all these other kingdoms. And this rock will be established forever. And then he goes on to say this. This particular rock will expand and it will cover the whole earth. Have you ever seen a rock expanding? I've never seen a rock expanding. This particular rock will expand and will cover the whole earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to understand revival, we've got to understand this. That revival is about a kingdom. And this particular kingdom is a kingdom that will break all the other kingdoms. The kingdom of the Roman Empire, the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Greek Empire, the European Union, the Kenyan Republic, the Ghanaian Republic, which other republic? The Nigerian Republic. There is a rock that is going to come and hit it. And this rock will be established forever. And this is a kingdom. And this kingdom will expand and will grow and will grow and will grow. So any kingdom or any rulership that is here on earth is a rulership or kingdom that God has given them some sort of authority, some temporary authority. He has given them some temporary. Romans 31 says, all authority comes from God. All. But he is the ultimate king. He is the ultimate king. So, now that I think I have convinced you that we're dealing with a king, I hope I've convinced you now. We are dealing with a king. Now that I've convinced you that we're dealing with a king, let's start talking about the precepts of a kingdom. You know, we were debating something with somebody. I can't see him here today, so I can talk about this with more authority. Should we teach being born again first? Or should we teach about the kingdom of God? And I was telling him, those two topics, to be honest, they can be taught in isolation. We can teach born again first or the kingdom of God first. It doesn't matter. It depends on how you're teaching it. But he was adamant that we need to teach about born again first. Jesus mentioned being born again only once. I'm not saying being born again is insignificant. It is very important. But he mentioned it only once. And he mentioned it to somebody, an old man. It was during midnight. After that, Jesus never mentioned born again again. Jesus was all about the kingdom. It was all about the kingdom when we're dealing with Jesus. It was all about the king. And so, when Jesus came and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He can't. So that's just the first part. The problem is very many people are still stuck in the born again state. We're not dealing with the kingdom. And so if we are going to see a move of God, then we've got to look at the Lord's Prayer carefully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, or your government come. Let your government come. Let your rulership come. In fact, when Pilate asked Jesus, who are you? In John chapter 18, he says, Jesus told him, you say rightly that I am a king. He said, are you a king? You say rightly, I am a king. Jesus never debated anything with Pilate. To be honest, why should you debate anything with people that you have made? Why? Why should you debate that? These days, I hardly ever debate anything with Muslims. Is God one? Is God three? How come Jesus this? I've won the argument. They need to see revival. They need to see power. They need to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth. My government is not of this earth. My government is a government of constant revival. My government is not like the government of Kenya. In the government of Kenya, if there's a storm coming, we put things together. We call the fire brigade. We call the army. A storm is coming. But Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this earth. My kingdom is constant revival. If there's a storm coming, we speak to that storm. In the government of UK, if somebody is dying, we say, okay, we get him together. Maybe he's going to die and we gather the people together. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this earth. My kingdom is of constant revival. My kingdom, I raise people out of the dead. In my kingdom is not like the kingdom of Ghana. In the kingdom of Ghana, we tend and plant the animals. But in my kingdom, I speak to the plants and the animals. I speak to the plants and they die and they wither. Constant revival. My kingdom is about constant revival. We are dealing with a king. So we've got to understand what kingdom is all about. Because we here understand republics and we understand voting systems. In fact, I was reading how in some magazine, I think, and they were saying that people who come from countries that the leader is a dictator, is a despot. I'm going to use the word despot. They usually embrace the word of God better than people who come from a republic where things are voted for. Because they are used to taking orders. I'm going to come back to the word despot. They are used to taking orders. So they embrace the kingdom very well. When God says this, there is no questioning it. Problem is that we are used to a republic. We debate and we vote and we debate and we vote. We bring the word of God, we debate and we vote it out. Last week, Scotland decided to vote on smacking of children. And there's something called reasonable chastisement. They said, now reasonable chastisement is out. If you reasonably chastise your kid, we're taking you to prison. The word of God says, spoil the child. So we debate and we vote. The kingdom of God, we do not debate and vote. God says it is finished. In fact, when Abraham was told what? To go and sacrifice Isaac. Trevor, I do not see Abraham debating with God on that issue. Maybe he debated in his mind, but the word, he did not debate with God anything. I see Abraham debating with God when there was judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But with that issue, I don't see him debating. Who wants to believe God's word without saying, debating it and voting it and rationalizing and intellectualizing it? See, the problem is our system now. We're not seeing the power of God because we are used to a system of government that we have let into the church. We've got to start changing our thinking. You see, let's talk about a king. A king. A king. We're dealing with a king. Old and new system. We're dealing with a king. Let's talk about a king. Not a prince, a king. In fact, if you look at the word of God, you find that the devil is described as a prince. Do you know that? Ephesians 2 verse 23 says, the prince of the power of the air. It's a title that is given. Paul is addressing the enemy. He's a prince. Jesus is addressing the enemy. John chapter 14 verse 30. And he calls him what? The prince of this world is coming. He has got no hold over me. We are dealing with a king, not a prince. I'm not saying that you undermine the enemy. I'm not saying that. But we're dealing with God, a king. If we understand who we're dealing with, you will hide yourself in Christ and stop focusing on a prince. You will focus on a king, God. If you read the book of Revelations and you see the angels that we are dealing with here, one angel has got one foot in the sea and one foot on land. Just an angel, not an archangel. Another angel comes and grabs Satan. An angel, not an archangel. An angel. With one hand, he grabs Satan. In the other hand, he puts him in the bottomless pit. Understand who we're dealing with here. God. Dealing with a king, rulership. And so if we're dealing with a king, we've got to understand who a king is. And as I said, it makes it easy for us here in the UK. You see, I come from Kenya. In Kenya, we were colonized by the British. My dad can actually sing the British national anthem, 3 verses. I can only sing 1 verse. As I said, a kingdom has to grow. A kingdom has to expand. A republic does not expand. He had never seen the queen. By the way, when we're dealing with a king, I thank God that he put the book of Esther there. Because a queen is a female version of a king. My dad had never seen the queen. Never been to England in his life. But he used to wear his suit and his tie in the heat of Kenya. Until today, we still drive on the left-hand side. Until today, if you go to Kenya, I don't know whether you saw this, Afriye, by 4 p.m., everything stops. We go and drink our tea. We come back. We used to play football. We used to play football. 4 p.m., everybody's gone home. Drink our tea. And we come back. We have been colonized by a king. He has never seen that king. That's why God is trying to colonize you. You have never seen the king. But if you go into the colony, we speak the king's language or the queen's language. So revival is about colonization. Want you to speak our language, dress like us, be subject to the king. The land, let me jump ahead. King, one of the titles of a king is Lord. A king automatically becomes Lord. I know that we use this word Lord a lot. But do you understand what the word Lord means? Lord means owner. A king owned all the land. The subjects did not own anything. All the land, all the wealth belongs to the king. That's why in England, the land here is called the Crown's land. The army belongs to the king. That's why in England, we've got the Royal Air Force. We've got the Royal Army. The post office, Royal Post Office. Everything belongs to the king. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord owns everything. He owns you. He owns your property. He owns everything. The king, when he bestows property on you, you become a lord as well. So that's why he's called the Lord of Lords. He gives you a territory. That's why he's called the King of You Are Kings. He gives you the territory. Everything belongs to the Lord. That car, that great Mercedes that you're driving. And you don't want to give people lifts. That leather, where did it come from? You're wearing Gucci. and Versace? You don't want to kneel down because you're wearing Gucci and Versace? Where did the Gucci and Versace come from? Belongs to the Lord. If we get this right, I think we're going to see a great move of God. Everything belongs to... We are dealing with a king. God wants to colonize you. He wants to change you. In England here, we've got the House of Lords. Who are these lords? Their title actually comes out of being the lords of lands. If you listen, if you look at their title, the title is Lord So-and-so of Cheshire, Lord So-and-so of Windsor. In Kenya, we had one lord called Lord Delamere. He owned nearly 50% of Kenya. That land he had been given by the Queen during the colonial era. I know that colonization had its sour and bad side of it. But the model of colonization that we're dealing with in God's system is different. He wants the best for you. Within the kingdom system, if he gave you a land, the king gave you a land, and you tilled the land, and you produced the land, and you brought the land to the king would say, good and faithful servant, I'm going to give you more land so you can till it. Who am I talking about here? God has been trying to colonize us, to change the way we think. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom cannot be compared to any kingdom in this world. My kingdom is not a kingdom of a prime minister. My kingdom is not a kingdom of a president. In fact, all of those kingdoms that we have here on earth are very similar in their nature. They're all just bureaucratic. My kingdom is a different kingdom. And we've got to start thinking about kingdom mentality. We are dealing with a king. What has happened is our minds have been distorted because of democracy. It has. We are dealing with a king. And if we are going to see the move of God, help us. Jesus was actually colonized. Do you know that? He was colonized from heaven. Everything I do it from the I do not dispute what the Father does or says. I do not go against his authority. Whatever I hear the Father say, I execute it. I do not vote or debate on it. I do not rubbish it. I do not say it's all dated. God is trying to colonize us completely before we see the move of God. Very many of us, God doesn't own you yet. When Thomas doubted Jesus, and he said, come and touch my body and see that it is really me. What did Thomas say? He said, my Lord and my God. What does the word Lord mean? Owner. That's why we got the word landlord. Until the Lord owns you, owns your time, owns your money, owns you, landlord. What does that landlord mean? He's the owner of that land. He's the owner of that property. He is Lord. Really? My Lord and my God. Some people are at the God stage. They believe in God. The devil also believes in God, the Bible says. So that's not a big issue. But is he Lord? If we are going to see the move of God, then we've got to start thinking about the kingdom. It is a kingdom. I said the king does not have a House of Commons or a Senate. A king has got a council. This council is called ecclesia. Anybody wants to help me what ecclesia means? The ecclesia means church. So you, the church, are supposed to enforce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is supposed to be enforced by you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 12, I believe. It says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent people what? Let me look at another version of this. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and the forceful ones lay hold of it. Kingdom. We are dealing with a king. The church is part of the kingdom. So we've got to start looking and viewing ourselves as a government. As a government. God has decided that you are kings and you are lords. But you've got to start viewing yourself from the perspective of a king. A king's laws are not disputed. You don't just come to a king empty-handed. Very many of us, we come and it's time for worship and we're like this. I don't want you. What's up? Those of you, the kingdom of the Ashanti Empire, the kingdom of Ashanti, kingdom of Benin, whenever you approach the king, you came with gifts. And you came praising and worshiping the king, dancing. I said we are dealing with a republic here, so we don't know how to approach God. And we want revival. We start thinking about the king and how you're going to approach the king. Stop debating the word of the king. He means well for you. He's different from the other kings. He wants the best for you. You came with your presence, you came dancing, and you lay prostrate. You remember when Esther wanted to approach the king? We say, if I go there, if I die, I die. You don't just approach the king anyhow. That's why there's so much dead spirituality, because the way we're approaching our king. I'm going to say this again. We are dealing with a king. We are dealing with a king. And I think we need to repent and start thinking about how we want to approach God and how we're going to call on revival. The king is coming. The Lord is coming. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close here. We're going to just worship the Lord a little bit. And then we're going to take of our communion. Can I have the worship team, please? A song that says, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting.
Shaking up the earth and sky, revival. We want to see your kingdom here.
Yes, Lord.
We want to see your kingdom here, King Jesus. You're the name we're lifting high, your glory. Shaking up the earth and sky, revival. We want to see your kingdom here.
Spirit, break out.
We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit, break out.
Let's stand and just worship. If you want to come up here and
break our walls,
you feel that you've missed it, I included, and you want to start again,
Spirit,
please
break
come.
Out.
Heaven come down.
Spirit break out.
Oh,